How many people here are reading through the book of Corinthians or have just finished today with the rest of the church? Cool, perfect. Those of you who are reading or are not reading may remember Pastor Jim's introduction 2 weeks ago on the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. And what I found really profound with what he was saying is his comparison with the church in Canada and the church in Corinth. I love situations or things in the Bible that I can relate to. Me being a part of the church in Canada and seeing the parallel with the church in Corinth, I can take what they're saying and say, hey, we need to do something about that. That's why I love characters like Timothy, who was a young pastor, mentored by Paul. Just, I can connect with these kind of people. And so, as I'm reading through 1 Corinthians and going into 2 Corinthians, I found a lot of little nuggets of golden truths, I would say, that we can apply into our lives. As Pastor Jim and I were planning and talking about what for me to speak on today, it was very difficult because I didn't want to introduce 2 Corinthians because it's already been done. So I decided to just grab a passage that you'll be reading actually on Friday or Saturday. I don't remember the exact day. And hopefully from there, you can see how you can dig up truth out of what you're reading daily. Because we could read and get nothing out of it. And I mean, you're not wasting your time because God honors you spending time with him, but you could get a lot more out of the passage when you understand these things. So let's just pray and open this sermon, and ask God to bless us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, that you are God who cares for every little detail in our life. Not only the things small, but also the big things in our life, God. I pray that you bless this morning. I pray that you bless your word today, God. I pray that you allow it to be shared effectively. Set me aside, set my planning aside, and just have your way. Let your Holy Spirit flow through what the message that you have for our church, for us this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Might be a touchy issue, but how many people here have ever had a problem with their cell phone provider? Hands, lots of hands up. Always. I was a big enemy of Rogers before I joined the team. If you can't beat him, join him, right? And as a part of Rogers, I get a lot of that, oh, you work with Rogers. Oh, Rogers is so evil. Meanwhile, Bell is probably just as evil, if you want to say that. They have the same kind of things, and they work the same stuff. If you've ever had a problem with a cell phone company, or I guess cable or internet or whatever, what kind of things do you run into? Go ahead, shout them out. What kind of things do you run into? You said you've had a problem with them, so what kind of problems have you had? Your bill. What about your bill? You can't understand it. It's too much. It's not what the sales associate told you when you left the store. There's all these problems from communication. Actually, I would say, Janet, that is the number one problem that when someone walks in the store, that is the number one problem that we have to deal with. My bill is too high. I don't understand my bill. Can you explain it to me? For you to claim that your bill is too high, you must have had an understanding of what your bill should be. That means, like I said, a sales associate who would have sold you these things and told you what it is. So, in essence, the number one problem is communication. I am going somewhere with this, so don't just sit there and be like, oh, yeah, he's pitching Rogers to me. No. So as people come in and say, oh, my bill's too high, this is what I'm paying, blah, 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 you offer them something different. You offer them a plan or a discount or a promotion, and they say, hey, I didn't know about that. Why did you just keep me paying this much? Why didn't you tell me that there was a promotion? And I could be saving $20 a month. These are things that irritate customers, irritate myself actually as an employee for Rogers because I have to deal with them. But this is the exact same thing that we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we kind of miss certain information and certain important things that they end up turning around and say, hey, my life is not as great as it should be. That's not what you told me. You promised me a prosperous and wonderful life. I don't see that. And there's all these things. we call them bill discrepancies. There's life discrepancies because of how we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as I was reading 2 Corinthians, actually we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it with me. There's a passage about, some of you may just remember it offhand from hearing it, whatever, a passage about being new creatures. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, the new will come. And then it talks about reconciliation. I find that this concept, if I can call it that, of being a new creature in Jesus Christ is often forgotten when we share the gospel. It's that bill discrepancy in your bill. So I'm hoping that as we talk today, that by the end of this, we understand what this whole new creature means. And it's inevitable step in the salvation process. So we understand what this new creature is or what it means, and that it has an inevitable step in the salvation process. So before I go into what a new creature is, we obviously, when something is new, there has to be something that's old, correct? Yes? Sorry, I like to hear and nods. And I'm like, thank you. There must be something old that's being replaced with something new. So for those of you who know the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is this old that is being replaced with something new? Your sinful nature. So we live in sin, we're born into sin, Jesus saves us, and now we are reborn. Thank you, Pat. So actually in the passage it kind of talks about that in verse 16. Actually, let me read the whole passage before we go through. So again, if you have your Bible, open it to 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it kind of says in 16, where it says, from now on. So a change has happened. So I'm gonna kind of backtrack before talking about from now on to say, what is that thing that we used to have? A sinful nature, yes, as Pat said. There's a word that he uses. He says, according to the flesh. That tends to be a term that's used in the Old Testament quite a bit, and actually pushed into when they're talking to the Jews into the New Testament about your life before Christ or your nature, who you are, your sinful nature. So in this first point, there are two creatures, and the first creature is the creature of the flesh. What is a creature of the flesh? A creature of the flesh, when it says, Therefore, we recognize no one according to the flesh. How do we recognize people according to the flesh? Well, ever watch a TV show and you say, oh, I wish I had that? Covet. Ever watch, see someone walk by and it's just a quick judgment. It's like, oh, man, why are you wearing that? You know, or you're stuck at home and you want to go out, but you can't, and you're just so down because of your situation. You're seeing things according to the flesh. You're seeing things with hopeless eyes. Beyond seeing, we also do things according to the flesh, like trying to achieve a goal in your own strength as opposed to letting God do it for you. Like not having hope in a situation where the world says it's hopeless, but you know in the bottom of your heart that God has a plan and he can do it. but yet you allow yourself in your sinful, in your flesh, to think, to worry, to have no hope. Creatures of the flesh is basically what it comes down to, is a creature that is not spiritual. It's a creature that is all about what they see, what they hear, and what they can touch. If you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3, or if you know you're not that quick in turning or playing with your iPhone or whatever to get the passage out, I'm just going to read it out loud. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh." Let's just stop there. I could not speak to you. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, the same church that this second letter has been written to, saying, I cannot speak to you as spiritual men, but as of men of flesh. They're still stuck in their old way. Let me do a quick survey. How many people think that he's talking to non-Christians? Good. Because as Pastor Jim alluded to, this letter was a letter written to the church in Corinth. Not the people in Corinth, not, you know, the judge or whatever hierarchy they have. No, it was written to the church in Corinth. So this is why when I said we sometimes miss, when we share the gospel, we miss that golden nugget, that thing. And if we don't present it fully, people get confused and people end up, I guess, stuck in their flesh. Could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh. Our new creature. So our previous creature is creatures of flesh, creatures of sin, creatures that only look at what we can see, what we can do. How can I help this situation? How can I do this? How can I? Creatures, what are new creatures? Can you take a simple guess as to what a new creature is? If our old creature is a creature of non-spiritual flesh, what do you think the new creature is? Spiritual. I put here the creature of righteousness. The old has passed away, the new has come. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 24. Doing a lot of flipping today. I cheated. I bookmarked my Bible, so it's not that I know my Bible more than you necessarily. I know where I'm going. He says, "And put on the new self." So this is describing the new creature. "And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth." So our old creature is a creature of flesh. Oh, nice. Our new creature is a creature that was made in righteousness, holiness, and truth. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is right. Righteousness is true. This new creature is holy. This new creature is within its spirit in touch with God and Jesus Christ living in him. So in contrast to what we said the creature of flesh does, this new creature has eyes of compassion. So as that person walks by, and instead of judging them, they're thinking, how can I help this situation? This new creature has the boldness in God, in God's ability, to get through the task that they've got to go through, whether it's a new job, whether it's a situation that you're stuck with, whether it's driving down the highway and you do not want to yell at people, which I'm still working on. This creature of righteousness has the boldness to allow God to do that. This creature of righteousness has hope in hopeless situations where you feel like that paycheck is not coming soon enough and I've got this due and that due and I've got to pay for this, I've got to pay for that. When you feel like there's no food in my fridge, which most of us here in Canada don't really struggle with because you can just go to the grocery store or convenience store and get some food, but you're hopeless. You just can't do anything. Whether you feel like there's a terminal illness in your family and there's no way, doctors have said there's nothing we can do. But a creature of righteousness has hope in those situations because they know that God can do. This creature of righteousness sounds too good to be true, right? How many people here can say that they're a creature of righteousness? At least boldly out loud saying, hey, that's me. I'm interested to see that nobody put up their hand, and I'd like to quite tell you otherwise. and this is why you didn't put up your hand. There's a misconception that this new creature is a perfect spiritual being. That this new creature is someone who does not sin. There's a misconception that we have that when it says the old things have come, new things are come, the old things are gone, the new things are coming, there's a misconception that those new things come right away, instantly done, I'm perfect. Is that the case? I would say no. There's a misconception that a new creature means a new being, a spiritual being. I would say that a new creature does not mean a new being, but a new person. There's a new thing inside of you, a new person inside of you that is making the change. And it's a gradual change. It's not an instant change. Therefore, a new creature, and this is something that's ingrained in my mind since I've been back to Bible school, in Colossians 1:27, a new creature is Christ in you. That's the only instant thing that happens when you have salvation. Christ comes in you. Being perfect, loving the unloved, having the eyes of compassion, all those things come eventually, some longer than others. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, our only hope of glory. This is the forgotten message of the gospel, that when you become a Christian, your life doesn't instantly get perfect. Salvation, we often focus heavily on the cross, which is not bad to do. What Christ did for you, he cleansed your sin, now you can be free from sin, that we forget the journey on earth. We tend to focus heavily on, well, if you trust in Jesus now, if you give your life to him, you get to go to heaven one day. And you forget that in-between time, which to some may be 60, 70, 80 years. 60, 70, and 80 years for a misconception and for the devil to work, I guess I could say, is a long time for someone to get to heaven pure and golden. Rebirth, becoming a new creature, is often lost in the aspect of Christ cleansing us from our sins, and thus we'll go to heaven. When we're saved, we do not merely receive a different destination when we die, but we become new creatures. I'm going to say that again. When we're saved, we do not merely receive a new destination when we die. We don't just not go to hell. We don't just go to heaven. That's not it. We become new creatures. That's what we've forgotten to say, and that's what I'm proclaiming right now to you, brothers and sisters. We become new creatures. He cleanses our sins so that we may have life now, not in heaven. He doesn't cleanse our sin, and it doesn't become like a golden... You know when you go to Canada's Wonderland, you get this little bracelet? Jesus didn't die for you, so you got that bracelet so you can get into heaven. And then you live how you want, you struggle, you scrape every little scrap because you have not experienced the love of God and you're not allowing him to bless you. You're stuck with this, man, I've got my ticket, I'm going to go to heaven, I don't care what I do now. No. He cleanses our sins so that we may have life now, so that we can connect with him now, here on earth. And also, we're going to go to heaven. So I'm not saying one or the other, I'm saying both. And so what does becoming a new creature mean? And I'm emphasizing that now we are new creatures, and none of you guys put up your hand saying, yes, I'm a creature of righteousness. But you all are. You are a new creature. You are a creature of righteousness because what? It says in this passage, I'm still in Ephesians here. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is, for those of you who have your Bible open, what does it say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, amen. In Christ, in heaven? No, in heaven we're going to be with Christ. Right? There's no in Christ in heaven. In heaven we're going to be worshiping. You see Jesus. He doesn't need to be in you. You're there. Right? In Christ. Christ in us and us in him. He's my beloved and, you know, I'm my beloved's and he is mine. Here on earth, if anyone is in Christ. Now, who here, don't put up your hand because I don't want to make it feel awkward for those seekers and everything, but who here have Christ in them? If you answer yes, then you are a new creature. You are a creature of righteousness. Don't let the misconception of perfection after salvation fool you. Perfection is not going to happen while you're here on earth. Yes, continue to strive to it, but don't be disappointed when it happens. Perfection is not instant, it is a process. Salvation is not something that happens and then bam, you're done. No, it's a process that lives out through your life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, not going to be in Christ, not going to be with Christ, is in Christ now, he is a new creature. How do we have Christ in us? Most of you can answer this question already because, I mean, you grew up in the church or you've been here for a while or someone has shared this story with you already. You guys remember the two cliffs? I don't know. Some people say it differently, right? But one that I've always have a picture in my head, there's two cliffs, God, us, right? And then you put the cross in the middle, then you can walk the bridge from us to God. Christ died for our sins through the cross to have salvation. We've been reconciled, as it says in the passage, we've been reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. What does reconciled mean? It means making right. I have a huge elaborate explanation here. I'm just going to say it means making right. We've been made right. It's been settled with God because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. But like I said, we often stop there. So yes, we've made it to the other side. Yes, we can get to heaven, but we forgot earth. We forgot the rest of our 70 years, or some of us have been Christians since, like me, I was 4 years old, so I've already been 21 years into it. I don't know how many more I can have, but we'll see. In Christ means, or to have Christ in you, we all know that answer, right? He's standing at the door knocking in your heart. There's a lot of metaphors that might be flooding your mind as you think of how you received Christ or as you think of you sharing Christ to other people. But why is it that when we are new creatures, we don't feel it, or we don't see progress, or we feel like, that's great, James. I've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years. I feel the same as I was back then. I'm still struggling to read my Bible. I still can't find the time of day to pray. You know, I still don't enjoy hearing someone preach and be taught. Why is it that we're stuck in this situation? If you can turn your Bible to Ephesians 4 again. This time, instead of starting at 25 or 24, we're going to start from verse 20. Paul says this to the church of Ephesus, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and you have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with lust of deceit, and that you are renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God," and so forth. We talked about that. Verse 21, "If indeed you have heard him, and you have been taught by him." Some of us feel like, man, I'm still stuck in that same situation I was 20, 30, 40, 50. Maybe it was last week that you received Christ. But if indeed you have heard him, and what? Have been taught by him. If you are listening, if you're reading, if you're being taught by Christ, the development happens. I didn't want to use the word creature because when we think of, let's say, a butterfly, when they become a cocoon and they become a butterfly, they just fly. They just instinctively know how to fly. That's not the case for humans. When you accept Jesus Christ, he comes into your heart. You are a new person, but you don't instinctively know how to live a Christian life. We tend to think, oh yeah, Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And we have all these Christianisms that we share with new Christians. And they're like, what? I don't know what that means. Holy Spirit, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? Do I have a phone number I can call? Like, when I prayed, am I supposed to hear something? No. It's not something that instinctively happens in your heart. You don't automatically know how to follow Jesus Christ. It's something that you have to learn, something you have to develop. There's evidence of this in, I'm kind of skipping to kind of get through fast. 1 Corinthians 3. Yes, in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3, I'm going to continue that. There's evidence of this in that. I guess for those of you who may or may not feel like or know somebody who has been Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and have not changed, it might be you, it might be someone you know. Of course, it's a brother, sisters, friends, you know, relative. It says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual man, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able." Is it up there? Oh, sorry, I'm reading an NASB, so that's why the words are kind of weird. As to infants in Christ, it's not something that you instinctively know. You don't become a Christian and become an adult. Pat, you said rebirth. You become reborn in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it is. For those of you who have had the privilege of having a baby or have been around a baby, you know how much work it is to train them. How to eat, what to eat, brush their teeth, use the washroom, potty train, whatever, this and that. There's a whole, it's like they're learning life, isn't it? But we forget about that in the spiritual life. In the spiritual realm, we become Christian, we automatically assume, yep, you're good, come to church, you're going to enjoy it, it's going to be fun, there's lots of people, they'll love you, all this and that. Not necessarily the case. Unfortunately, here in Paul's first letter to Corinth, to the church in Corinth, he says, you have not yet grown up, you're still infants, I'm feeding you with baby food, I should be feeding you with nice steak, the meat and potatoes of what Christian life is all about, but I'm still pushing Jesus Christ to you, saying, no, that's not the way. Please, please, get it right. Read your Bible, please. You're still pleading with them. Because they didn't, well, I'm not making the assumption, at least that church, but I know the church in Canada, we've forgotten this whole aspect. It's almost like, I brought my kids to church, therefore they're going to be Christian when they grow up. And then we ask the question, why in university they dropped off? We ask the question, why that when they went to university, when they came back, they should be coming to church again, but they've chosen, you know, not to. This nurturing process of the spiritual life, we tend to forget. This new creature, like I said, is not like an animal who can instinctively know what to do. This new creature, you are still a human being. You still need to learn. Now, was it too late for the church in Corinth? No. Is it too late for you? It's been 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, I don't know. And you're still being fed with baby food? No, it's not too late. I don't care if you've got a week to live or 70 years to live. It's never too late. If you've heard him, you've been taught by him, you have Christ in you, he is your only hope to glory. Colossians 1:27. Like I said earlier, Christ changes us in our person. He doesn't change our being. He doesn't make us not human beings anymore. He changes our person. We gain new eyes to see the world. We gain new ears to listen to the guidance of his Spirit. We gain a new tongue that speaks praises, not curses. These are all in there. Read your Bible. Sorry, I don't know exact passages. And like the rest of the passage says in verse 20, we become ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Like I said, like any new car or new gadget or new job that you have, you don't automatically know how to use it. You don't automatically know all the features. I just got a new phone 2 days ago. I've jumped back to the BlackBerry. I'm hoping to get the one with the keyboard, but complications. Anyways, as a tech guy, I'm still learning how to use this. It's been 2 days. You'd think, oh, yeah, James knows these things. He should. I work for Rogers. I should know, right? No, I'm still learning how to use this. Yesterday, we were at the Jazz Fest. I was trying to create a video, and I struggled to take a video. the thing. I'm like, I know these things, but I don't. No, because a new device, I need to learn how to use it. Unfortunately, phones nowadays, they don't come with, you know, manuals. Your manual is YouTube or your friend has the same phone. Like I said, you get a new device, you get a new car, you have to learn how to do these things. You are a new creature, you have to learn how to use your new body. You have to learn how to see with eyes of compassion. You have to learn how to speak. I guess the simplest thing is to not swear, right? Oh, that's not a swear word. Oh, that's a swear word. Oh, I don't. Well, no, if you're a new creature, you're intact with the whole, with Jesus Christ, you know what is and what isn't. You learn these things. You have to learn how to reuse your new mind. It says in Romans 12, the renewing of your mind after you've given your body as a living sacrifice, there's a renewing of your mind. You have to learn how to use this new mind that you have to maybe not watch what you used to watch, listen to what you used to listen, think how you used to think, not have hope when you know you can and there is hope, not worry when you feel like I can't do it, I need to worry. You have to learn how to use your new body. And I'm an advocate of a test drive. For me to learn something, I need to touch it, fiddle around with it, mess up when I've got to mess up, get it right when I get it right. Same thing with your new body. Yes, you can sit here, dive into the Bible, read your whole manual, right? Our new body has a manual. It's right here. Some of them you may feel like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. You know, a lot of the older stuff, by older I meant Old Testament, not older as in time-wise. I guess technically it's both. Anyways, your manual's right here. Yes, you can sit there and read the manual all you want, but you get to the device and you want to try to do something. The manual says this. Your screen doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. What are you supposed to do? Well, try it out. Christ says I'm supposed to be happy, right? I have to have joy in times of trials. But I just went through something. I can't. I don't have joy. Try it out. Try and be happy. Try and have joy. Try to celebrate. It's funny. Some preachers, they give the example, you know, like you're nailing something down with with a nail and a hammer and you hit your hand, right? And most people would swear and it's like, that's my test. If I don't swear, then I'm good. Try it out. Don't actually do it, please. Hit your thumb. Praise Jesus, you know. I don't know why, but I just did it. Some reason. There's a reason for that. Trust me. I'm an advocate of a test drive. I don't mean a test drive that you're going to give it back. No, you can't give back this body. You've accepted Jesus Christ. You're with him. I don't know if you'd want to. But try it out. Try and fail, please. When you fall off your bike, get back on again. I'm sitting here, like, the hardest part of a message is the application. I'll give you this much. If you have something to say, it's great for you to say, yeah, great, I learned it. I'm going to walk off, and now you've got head knowledge. The hardest part is to encourage application or to give an example of application. And this one I struggled with so hard. You are a new creature. You can't apply that. You are. Once you know it, hopefully, my application to you is please try it out. Try out your new body. I'm pretty sure, because I know my God a little bit, that he's going to put you in situations where your faith will be tested, where your worry will be tested. Try it. See where it goes. We are all new creatures, creatures of righteousness. And I think it's about time, whether it's been 20 years or whether it's been last week. It's about time to start acting like new creatures.